720 WGN and a happy Tuesday evening, 10:09 from the Allstate Skyline Studio overlooking the beautiful Chicago River. Thank you so much for joining us, spending some of your Tuesday evening with us. I'm John Hanson, and to my right is the awesome, we're just getting to know each other, Saadia Davis. I'm so excited for the WGN listeners to get to know you too. Welcome to the program.
Hey. Happy to be here.
I got to say, you have a great career. You've been doing film and TV, and you're a nonprofit entrepreneur. You did so many great things, but what I've learned the most about you is you are a home remedy queen.
Yes.
Because you had a little tickle in your throat this morning?
I had a little tickle and I was like, oh no, I'm going on the radio.
Right.
I need a voice.
Yes, you do, and I appreciate it. But you're like bringing out bottles and droplets. Hey, what do you got in front of you?
I've got slippery elm. Listen, it's all non-GMO.
Right, okay. Of course.
Mm-hmm. One of the stores did very well by me today.
Yes, right. You just sold out
extra strength singer's therapy. Mm. So I'm going to hang in there to you guys. Hang in with me.
You're going to be fine.
Absolutely.
We're going to rock it till 1 o'clock this morning, till Nick DiGilio gets here. But Saadia, you gave me some of your bio. And, you know, some people give you a bio and you feel like they're stretching a little bit. I feel like you had to be compact because you've lived this fascinating life. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, you know what? I just love life and I love people. And I'll tell you something, actually, and I'll make it quick. But Francis
we got 3 hours. You don't got to make anything quick. Here, you got time.
Oh, when I was young, little spring chicken, I did a music video for Roman Coppola's debut.
Okay,
I'm dating myself. And Francis Ford Coppola showed up and he sat next to me and he said, "Do you like this? Do you like doing this? Do you want to do this?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Okay, you are so sweet. You're just so sweet.
Okay.
Stay that way. Because in this business, people only work with who they like. And John, I have just taken that mantra through all the work that I do. And I just love to listen to people and hear their story.
I think that's such a great lesson, not only for people in our business, but for people all over the place. Stay positive, stay sweet, and be excited to meet new people.
It applies to everything. And people want to be heard. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things that, as a social entrepreneur, I make sure that I listen.
You've been on the West Coast, you've been on the East Coast, and now here in Chicago for 10 years. So then, in my book, you are a Chicagoan, as can be right now. You've endured 10 long winters.
Ooh, so the West Side.
Yes, exactly. So you've done it all here in Chicago, but I really want to just start by talking about this theater project, because that is something that just jumped out to me that you've done, kind of rehabbing this old theater. Walk us through how that came about and what you guys have done.
Yeah, so most people know me as Smarty Pants, Our Leaders, teaching youth empowerment through art and gardening. So I partnered with Catalyst Circle Rock on the west side of Chicago, and I needed somewhere to store my gardening tools. And they literally took me to an adjacent building that they used for storage, which was a gutted theater.
Really?
Yes.
And when you walked, are we talking it was falling apart, or could you see some of the old beauty, or just a space that was beyond?
Yeah, there was no ceiling, really. I mean, there were ceiling struts, but there was no, what you see today with all of the acoustic panels and the walls did not exist. There were no seats. Mm-hmm. I've gone into theaters. I have to admit, I am a shy person. I was a shy kid. And in the fourth grade, my mother put me in theater classes in Marin. In fact, the Marin Theater Company. And so I knew it would be an asset for the children that I was teaching. And so I started bringing a bunch of people who had money over to say, look, come listen. Or friends of mine that were artists, come sing. And it turns out that the building, as stated by Ekinoff and Saunders, the architect, said that it was built for music because of the curved walls. Mm-hmm. So there were some elements that existed. The masonry is amazing. So just adding on to what was already there, you can't build buildings like that anymore.
Right, and they don't. I mean, you go to old theaters and sometimes you're like, that is so ornate. Yeah. The detail that went into some of those things.
Absolutely.
So what was the process like bringing that back to life? You showed me some pictures. It looks incredible.
It's amazing. You know, a lot of people, a lot of hearts came together. Ed Seidowitz at Catalyst Circle Rock, one of the founders, it's a public charter, saw me leading a contingency of folks onto the stage one day. He's like, who are you? Who are you? Why haven't I met you? And I told him who I was, and he said, you know what, can you put together a vision for this and maybe we can move this forward? So we had to get the board involved, and we got a finance capital team involved. And I mean, I give it to Tracy Brooker. Woo! She raised, they raised, we raised 3.8 8 million in less than 18 months.
Wow.
Mayor Rahm Emanuel, our previous mayor, gave us $1 million through the Chicago Neighborhood Opportunity Fund. So it's a lot of hearts and a lot of people coming together. But listen, putting any structure together, any renovation, speaking of HGTV, mm-hmm. these things don't happen that fast. And we reconstructed and renovated that space in just under a year.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. And we opened it May 22nd.
And what's the name of, where is it at again, for people that don't know?
Right. So it's called the Carine Center for the Arts. And it's on Central in Washington. It's 5628 West Washington. Our goal and my absolute passion is for it to revitalize and inspire a community that has a voice. There are so many talented people and so many MCs. So we designated it a storytelling theater.
Oh, really?
Through music, through dance, through drama, and spoken word, and on some weeks, comedy.
I want to go up there. I'll do some of my stand-up over there. I don't know if they'll boo me on out of there. But
yes.
I think what's awesome about what you just described is that there are so many talented people all over our beautiful city that just don't have the opportunity. Like, growing up, I did theater because that's just something we had at our high school. We had a great theater program. No problem growing up in Downers Grove. At Downers Grove South, as Ashley looks at me, Downers Grove North, good theater program there, too. Don't give me the thumbs down. But there's so many great students in our city and young adults that need that platform and to be able to provide that. So do you have a lot of shows that are open to the public? How can people get involved in the project?
To that point, there are also a lot of other organizations. And one of the things that's happening right now in theater is that there are theaters like Looking Glass Theater was an advisor and said, yes, this can be an actual theater for the public. Collaboration is one of my favorite organizations who can then put shows on in the space. To answer your question, we are about $1.5 million away from the total capital campaign. So that's number one on, you know, the school's agenda. But it needs funding for programming, which is what you're asking. So again, I laid out the agenda, the plan, the vision for programming to happen. We established relationships with a lot of really wonderful philanthropic organizations. We just now need the money to make it happen and make it alive. I said it cannot sit now. It's sat for 45 years.
Yeah.
So now that it's built, it needs to be utilized.
It's got to live and breathe.
It's got to live and breathe, and it's got to live and breathe for the people who live there. So really exciting. Ravenna is our lead sponsor.
Oh, nice.
We named it the actual auditorium, the Sistema Ravenna Theater Auditorium. So there's some great organizations that are partnered, but again, we kind of need that funding.
Well, if you got $1.5 million, 312-981-7200, call in and donate. You can end this today. That'd be great if there's any listeners out there.
Multiple checks. $5.
Little fundraiser here.
Listen, I always say there's no check that's too small and no check that's too big.
Amen. I like that. Glad you used those supplements to be able to get that deep voice there, Sonia. That was good. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. But you mentioned HGTV. I want to talk about that show you were on. Is that okay? No?
Yeah, sure, of course.
But then plenty more about all the great stuff you've been doing ever since here in Chicago. It's Sonia Davis, John Hanson on 720 WGN. John Hanson and Sonia Davis into the second segment already. Feeling good, Sonia? Yes. I like how you were halfway singing through the music and just belting it out. I like that. We didn't say hi to Ashley Bahun, our producer today.
Ashley.
No, I said your last name wrong, didn't I?
You were close.
Bahun.
Close.
Bihun.
There you go.
That's right, because it's just Bihun.
Yeah.
Ashley. I was not close with Bahun, by the way. Thanks for giving me credit. Yeah.
Good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley's a star. She's making me feel at home.
Yeah, that's what Ashley does best, even though she's from Downers Grove North. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Ashley, chime in anytime that you want. So, Sonia, I mentioned before the break that you had a show on HGTV some years ago. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Listen, it was so much fun. I always wanted to. I had a painting company. And
home painting.
Okay. Actually, it was called Pretty Painters. Ooh. And it was like for guys who didn't know how to decorate their home. So, and then I loved gardening. So when I got this call, it was like perfect for me. But it was a lot of fun until one of the clients killed my shot.
What do you mean?
So, you know.
This is called Splurge and Save.
It's called Splurge and Save. So there were two co-hosts, Krista Waterworth and myself, and she's a rock star. She's amazing. It was so dynamic watching them cast two people for chemistry. Mm-hmm. So when they brought me on first, and when she and I clicked, it was amazing. Because they would be like, we don't like her voice, or we don't like that person's voice.
Oh, it's the littlest thing that might throw it. Yeah.
Don't mm-hmm. ever take it personal. It's never you, for those actors and people out there. But anyways, so we're shooting, and you know, not everything is true. HGTV. You
know, I think most people know that, yeah, but just in case.
So Krista Waterworth was the splurge. She, you know, if you were going to buy and splurge something in your house, say the sofa is the splurge. And then, the renovator that I am, you know, I can make things look like for $50, like $100,000. Mm-hmm. I was the saver.
Okay.
And, so I went around the house pretending like I found some things throughout the house and remade them, and the client kept laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the director was like, cut.
Right.
So what's going on here? She's like, well, she's just so good. Like, I'm believing her. And he's like, yeah, because that's what we need you to do.
Yeah, it's a little bit of acting here.
And so she blew through every take. And
just kept on laughing?
Yeah, it was horrible because it was such a moneymaker shot.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I had just like hung a door, and I hung the door.
Yeah, you didn't let someone else do the work.
No.
And then you just put one nail in there? No,
I actually, although we did have a team behind us, mm-hmm. I used a circle saw and cut an arnoir and made a bar.
Look at that.
It was hot.
That's a good save there.
Oh, yeah.
And the client laughed through the whole thing.
Messed me up.
So, I think a lot of people, if you had to put a number on it, like a percentage, because I'm a big HGTV fan. I love Love It or List It, we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
I know probably the whole darn thing is fake. There's a lot of things set up, and I get it, but you still get a lot of takeaways, ideas. It's a great network. I love working for it.
Absolutely.
Or watching it, excuse me.
Well, I'll just say I loved working for them, and it was a learning curve because Krista Waterworth is just an amazing designer, and so she had AutoCAD and this and that. And so, from the designer's perspective and individuals that come in and really work as a partnership, it's like anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're telling a story, and it's a good story. And in most cases, it's all very true. It's just you've got a short amount of time to make things happen, and so you've got to fill in a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So after HGTV, which must be tough, you have the show, and then it doesn't necessarily get picked up for a bunch of different seasons.
That was sad.
Yeah,
because my agent kind of didn't tell me in the right way. He should have been like, where are you? Do you want to sit down?
Oh, no. Yeah. And how would it actually happen?
Oh, so I was in Chelsea Market looking for flowers, and my knees. Yeah, you know, and my knees almost buckled. I was like, really, Mark? Couldn't you have told me, like, in a nicer, gentler way? But it was okay. Like, Krista went on to do a couple more episodes before they canceled the show altogether. It was moving a little too fast and too hot and sexy for HGTV at the time. But it was so much fun, mm-hmm. and it really informed me on what I love, and that is I love being a host bringing people together and telling great stories.
You mentioned the nonprofit work that you've been doing. You sort of dropped the name of the big organization you're part of. Why don't you what was that again? It's you just said it earlier.
Oh, was it Collaboration?
No, I have it here in your bio somewhere.
Oh.
The snappy, I forgot the name. The big name of your nonprofit that you work for.
Oh, well, Smarty Pants are
Smarty
Leaders.
Yes.
Oh,
tell us about that. Sorry.
Yeah, so interesting. That happened here in Chicago. I was inspired just before I moved here from New York. Really wanted to mentor and came up with the name Smarty Pants. Oh, I was living in Harlem, and across the street from me, these little boys were playing like sick ball in a parking lot, but their pants were sagging and they couldn't have been more than 10. And
really?
That's when I was like, wow, you know, these kids are following behind a style that they don't even know what it means.
Mm-hmm.
So Smarty Pants kept in my mind. 2008, 2009, I was living here. I was running Smith & Hawken, and it was an amazing store. Great legacy. High-end luxury furniture, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But gardening, right? So the themes, we keep them. They're mm-hmm. consistent with my bio. But basically, the market was tanking. And Scott's brand, the holding company, couldn't sell Smith & Hawken at the time. So it had to go through a liquidation. I took it through the liquidation and stayed, took the severance. But I woke up on 09, 09, and I'm like, wait a second. I don't want to be on this merry-go-round in retail another year. What do I want to do? The market's tanking. Nobody's designing their homes because they're trying to pay for it.
Right, right. They're just trying to pay their mortgage. Yeah, right.
So I leveraged some of the friendships and relationships with families and businesses of Smith & Hawken and started Smarty Pants Are Leaders, thanks to Lucy Lehman, who was awesome and instrumenting a call to Jill Zwick. Hi, Jill, the Secretary of State's office. So, yeah, I incorporated it on 09, 09. And the goal was to take what I know as an artist, back then art was being taken out of the schools. And I know, and for my friends who are successful artists, we need that balance of science. And isn't it funny? Just a couple of years later, they put that A in STEM and they made STEAM.
Yeah.
Right? So Chicago is a really good home and has been very supportive, but I was very much inspired by the fact that there were kids on the street shooting guns under the age of 15. So Smarty Pants Are Leaders literally focused on the fourth grade, 8 and 9 year olds. Catch them early.
Really formative. Those catch couple years early. Are huge. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And you work with them, and what sorts of things do you guys do to help them stay active and stay doing what they're doing?
Yeah. So the great news about Catalyst Circle Rock is they allowed me to incorporate our curriculum during the school day.
So that, in the schools themselves?
Yeah, in the school. And that was really important to me, John, because I was like, oh, this isn't an after school program. I literally aligned science with gardening. And now with STEM and with technology, we put together a curriculum 2 years ago that matches up, when people are building the back end of programs, right? I can't think of their name right now. But anyways, they use roots and stems in that language of making the back end of a computer and things like this. Mm-hmm. I can't think of the word right now. But anyways, so we keep it consistent. I have a 16-week curriculum that follows the seasons, and it really empowers young people. Here's the deal. I mentioned relationships. It teaches relationship skills through gardening and how garden nature works, and then art for self-expression and be able to use your voice.
Wow. That's awesome stuff. You're an inspiring person. I'm just sitting there like, what am I doing? I'm just talking on GN, going on the U every morning, then taking a real long nap. Hey. All right, sorry, we got to take a quick commercial break. Then we got the news and plenty more coming up on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Happy Tuesday night, everyone. It's 10:35 from the Allstate Skyline Studio. Myself and Saudia Davis. Are you here? That 94 degrees tomorrow. Are you ready for that? Are you a hot weather person, Saudia? I wish I could
take a pass.
I wish I could take a picture of your shocked face right then.
The only way I've survived in Chicago is because I like the cold a little bit.
Right. You got to like them bold. And that's the thing about Chicago. It's all about extremes. Well, 94 degrees is going to seem like the tropics. Segue to reptiles. Look what I did. That's a segue in the business.
How about that?
An alligator in the Humboldt Park Lagoon. If you've never been out at Humboldt Park, it's a gorgeous park. You should go check it out. And it's got this old historic boathouse, and it's got this lagoon, which has a beach, which is open to the public. It's run by Chicago Parks.
Yeah.
And you might want to swim in it today or tonight. You shouldn't swim in it tonight anyways.
Hold on to your children.
Yeah, hold on to your children tight, in all seriousness, because, yes, there is an alligator or a crocodile in the lagoon, and this has been picked up by a ton of stories, but it was broken first by our guest on the line, Mina Bloom, my good friend from Block Club Chicago. Mina, what a day for you. You never know what you're going to get at Block Club.
I know. Yeah, thanks for having me, John. I know, it's been a wild, wild ride today.
How did you stumble upon this one?
Yeah, so we received a tip early this morning, and this was, I want to say, like around 8 a.m. this morning. And we took it really seriously, you know. We take all tips really seriously, but especially this one.
Wait, did you actually, were you like, okay, well, this is crazy. This must be a stick in the water or something.
Yes, you know, we certainly were skeptical. But we took it seriously enough to check it out, to go to the scene and really check it out. So that's what I did. And I spent all day talking to witnesses, talking to neighbors, talking to the animal control officers, talking to police officers, talking to Alligator Bob, who is a man who works with Herpetological Society in Chicago, and he's Chicago's resident reptile expert. He was brought out, so you know we spent all day making sure that that it was legitimate, and we verified it, by I believe it was about 5 p.m. today that Chicago police said yes, this is a bona fide alligator in the lagoon.
I know that the pictures got better as the day went on, because the first one I saw, I'm like, that might be a stick.
A floating log.
Yeah, that's a floating log.
With an eyeball.
Yes, exactly. I didn't quite know what it was. So have you seen it yet, or were you kind of relying on the eyewitnesses and the photos that you saw on the scene?
So I did not see it personally, unfortunately. I was hoping to, but did not see it personally. I talked to a lot of folks that did claim to see it. And like you said, we did get better photos as the day went on. So at first we got pretty grainy photo. And, you know, the guy, Bob, who's the reptile expert, he was saying, you know, I don't know. I don't know what this is. It could be an alligator, but it certainly may not be. But then we eventually got that other photo, and we verified that photo. I spoke to the woman who took it and people who were actually with the woman to corroborate her story. And that photo was great. That photo was super up close, and you could really see the alligator. So at that point, you know, we felt pretty confident that there was actually a creature in the lagoon.
Do we have an estimate of how long it's been in the lagoon?
Great question.
We don't, you know, that's a great question. We don't really, you know, there's a lot of questions that are unanswered
yes.
at this point.
There's a lot of questions. Yeah, we got a lot of them, but that was a good starting point there, Saadia. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot we don't know. So I think that when and if, but really when at this point, the gentleman, Bob, can get the animal out of the lagoon and we can actually see it and they can study it and bring it to the zoo for evaluation, then we'll have a better idea of how long it's actually been in the lagoon. So but right now we don't know.
Is Bob just like set up a tent there and like got a flashlight working? Like what's the scene look like? I know you've handed off the story because you can't work 24 hours, but what's the latest happening now? Because they want to catch this thing tonight, yeah. I imagine.
They do want to catch this thing tonight. The Chicago police spokesperson actually tweeted out earlier today that they were aiming to trap it tonight and send it off to the zoo for evaluation. But you're right. So I'm no longer at the scene, but we've got a reporter there right now, Alex Hernandez, and he actually just sent us a message that the gator popped up around 10 p.m. and went back under around 10:20. So people are still out there. There's a lot of neighbors surrounding the perimeter of the park watching.
Are there
waiting.
Helicopters?
Yeah.
Are there helicopters with lights? I'm
yes.
just curious.
Yes. Yes, there's still activity over there. In terms of Bob, I know that
poor
he
Bob.
Wanted to wait until things kind of settled down to really try and attract the gator. He was thinking that the gator might be pretty scared by
yeah.
all of the
oh,
people
yeah.
and the helicopters around. So he was hoping to wait until till nightfall, and particularly because alligators are much more active at night.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So I imagine, I mean, this has to be a pet sort of scenario, and the lagoon is landlocked, so there's no risk of this thing swimming up a creek or entering the yeah. Chicago River, I imagine. So that's their best guess on how this thing got in there, right?
The best guess, yeah, is that it was a pet, somebody's pet, and that person decided to dump it in the lagoon.
Yeah, they're like, it's 4 to 5 feet now.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's no longer fitting honey in the garage.
Yes. It's outgrown its leash. Yes, exactly. We got to let this thing go, God. Which I imagine is like the worst thing to do, of course, because we joke about this thing, but like 4 to 5 feet long. I mean, kids play in this lagoon area.
Yes, absolutely.
And
it's
some
a public
people,
safety risk.
Some people fish.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand
yes.
that. But I think, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's just a pastime to just...
Oh, the fishing in the lagoon. Yeah. Well, they're going to catch something real special here tonight. All right. So, Mina, obviously, what I love about Block Club and all you guys do is you guys had the boots on the ground. Everyone's picked up the story. Hopefully, a lot of them have given you credit for finding that story. Nice job. But I got to say, I love the spin that you guys took mid-afternoon because all of a sudden, you know, once Chicagoans catch wind of something unusual and then everyone's safe and they know they got this thing cornered, they'll get it eventually. You guys now want a name for this sucker, don't you?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we do. We've been putting on a call on social media, so that'll probably continue tomorrow and maybe the next day, but we've gotten some good name suggestions, and we'll probably get a lot more.
Do you have any favorites, Mina?
What was that?
Do you have any favorites?
Yeah, throw one at us.
Oh, God.
She's like, let me pull it up on Facebook. I've been working for 12 hours, John.
I've got one for you.
Saadia's got one for you, and you can go next, Mina.
Windy City Scales.
Windy City Scales. That's a good one.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody earlier, I really liked this one, and maybe it's because I cover the first ward, but, you know, we had an alderman most recently, Proco Joe Moreno. Mm-hmm. Somebody came up with Croco Joe.
Oh, that's a good one.
Alligator. Of course, it appears to be an alligator, not a crocodile, so that doesn't entirely fit, but I like that.
Yeah. Hey, 312-981-7200. What should we name our? Wait, you said it's an alligator, right? Not a crocodile. I'm getting confused.
Yeah,
I don't know the difference. Okay.
Alligator, yeah. Well, you know what? You know that's what they believe in, and I want to just stress that we don't know exactly what kind of animal it is until we actually get it out of the water.
That's true. All right. So 312-981-7200. We want your suggestions for what we should name that animal. Obviously, you've got Chicago as your playground here, so you've got a lot of corrupt names you can give this thing, sports names, whatever you want. But Windy City Scales leads the way right now. All right, Mina, thank you so much for stopping by. Get some sleep, because I know you're going to be bright and early at that lagoon if they haven't caught that thing yet.
Oh, yes, I will. Thanks, John.
Have a good one.
Thanks so much.
And that's Block
Thanks.
Club Chicago, by the way. I just cut her off as she was saying goodbye. Block Club Chicago does great work in our city. I don't know if you were familiar with DNA Info. They were the neighborhood news site beforehand, and then they changed over to this Block Club Chicago. And I got to say, when we talk about the alligator story, it's kind of a lighthearted, fun story. Luckily, no one got hurt. But, man, that's where local journalism comes in. Because, you know, like, where did the stories come from that you see on TV? They often come from the boots on the ground.
That's right. That's right.
Or the galoshes or the water boots, whatever you got to wear into the lagoon.
And some stories you can't fake.
Oh, no. This ain't fake news. It was when I saw the stick, but once we actually saw the better picture. Quick commercial break, then more on 720 WGN. Hanging out here on this Tuesday night. Saadia Davis and John Hanson here. I love this alligator story. It's so Chicago. By the way, we had a text, Saadia. Think of it like this. So, Alligator Bob is the name that everyone keeps on bringing up. He just seems to be the guy that you call when this stuff happens. The 312 texted this in. I hesitate to bring this up, but there is a gentleman named Alligator Bob in the far northwest suburbs that is famous for making custom motorcycle seats out of alligator. Hopefully not the same person, because I don't know if he's going to catch it, bring it to the zoo, and make a seat out of it. I'm sure there's different ones. There's got to be two Alligator Bobs, right?
Ooh, good.
This
good,
guy seems to be really interested in the health of this thing, making sure it's okay, taking it to the zoo.
Investigative
stuff, exactly. But if you've got a name for our newest alligator, our newest resident of Chicago, 312-981-7200, in case you're just joining us, found in the Humboldt Park Lagoon. So it wasn't found in the river. Like, it's not connected to the Mississippi down to the Gulf. This thing is obviously dropped off as a pet. I've got a couple questions about this. Let's go to Donna. Donna, you're on 720 WGN.
My question was, how deep is that lagoon? Do we know that? And the other thing is, are we sure there's only one of them in there?
Good question, Donna. Those are two great questions. I don't know how deep the lagoon is. I know people fish in there, and I've walked around it, and I can't see the bottom, but that's really not a good gauge, because it's a little, you know, muddy. It's a lagoon.
It's murky.
My guess is it's probably anywhere between, 10 to 14 feet, not super deep. As for whether there's more than one, I don't know. I mean, this thing just popped up. Maybe it's got a friend. Maybe it has some other pet owner put something else in there. I don't know. That's a great question, Donna. Donna, where are you calling from here this evening?
I'm in Brookfield.
You're up at the zoo. You're going to get this thing.
I'm in the zoo. I know.
So there, you already have alligators as neighbors, so.
Is maybe we should name it after Ronnie Woo Woo. You know, he's got to get into Chicago history somehow.
Yeah, Ronnie Woo Woo, the famed Chicago Cubs fan. Yeah, Alligator Woo Woo, Santo Woo.
Alligator Woo Woo.
Yeah, Alligator Woo Woo. I like that one. Donna, do you ever have any exotic pets?
No, never.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, I was hoping you were going to have some great out of this world answer, Donna. I put you on the spot. Hey, thanks for calling, and shout out to Brookfield at the zoo.
No problem. Enjoy our alligator.
Yeah, thanks, Donna.
Thank you.
And Alligator Woo Woo, soon to be joining her. Did you ever have any exotic pets?
No, but I didn't mind a snake.
You didn't mind a snake?
No, like I once put a boa constrictor around my neck. My mother's like, are you serious right now? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Please tell me you were doing it for like TV or for something fun.
It was kind of cool. It tightens up around you as they move. It was like yellowish white. I don't even remember where I was, but it happened.
We grew up, my older brother collected snakes, like the little gartners that were around, garter snakes that were around Downers Grove, and he'd put them in his little aquarium. We had an iguana for a few years.
That's kind of exotic.
It kind of exotic, but that thing would get out, walk around. I'd be sleeping in the middle of the night.
Oh, no.
We slept with our doors open, like when we were little kids.
Right.
And I just remember bolting my eyes open. That thing was at the foot of the bed, and I'm like, I just like kicked it off that thing because it would, they were perfectly safe and kind.
Should be outside.
Something should be outside, right? Well, one time the snakes, they would always get out of the cage too. These were little ones. These were not very big, but I just remember we had a neighbor that was terrified of snakes, and my parents and these neighbors would exchange magazines so they could save money. Like every week they'd exchange their magazines.
Oh, no.
So one time the neighbor, we just hear her carrying out the Jules bag of magazines, and all of a sudden this screech from outside. She drops the magazine and there's just like four snakes crawling out of this thing. I know. So we were always known, the Hansen house was always known as things having exotic pets and things along those lines. That was just something we had. We had turtles. My brother was really into that sort of stuff.
So does he work for a zoo now?
No, he's a firefighter.
Oh,
both
okay.
of my brothers and my dad are firefighters. Yep, they were pyro firework crazy people. And of course, now they're firefighters saving us all.
Putting out some fires.
Ashley's talking to someone. I think she actually had an answer on the lagoon question. We'll get her for a second. But 312-981-7200, what should we name our new alligator from the lagoon? Had a text from the 2301, Alan with two L's, the alligator. Alan the alligator.
Okay.
That rolls off the tongue.
Easy.
Nothing too exciting there, but
Alan.
I like the double L.
Sounds like a... I don't know. Let's keep them going. You guys, give us a call. We want to hear from you.
We want to hear. Let's go to Hank. Hank, you're on WGN. How you doing, Hank?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Oh, we're doing pretty well.
Great voice.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much. I think Bob is... he's an alligator, but he's rolling over.
You think he's an alligator, but he's rolling over?
Oh, yeah.
Because we, Frank, that was good. That was good stuff. It says here in the notes, are you with Chicago PD, Hank?
Of course I am.
All right.
Hey.
We never know.
Wait. Who do you know that I know that you know?
That's the Chicago way.
With a voice like that.
Yeah, exactly. Hank, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Hank.
Take care, buddy.
312-981-7200. What would you name our new resident alligator? By the way, the 785 in relation to my snake story says, the only good snake is a dead snake. Now, come on. Snakes are useful. They eat up the rats.
Oh,
they eat up the mice.
They give hugs, I tell you.
They give hugs, yeah. Sometimes a little bit
too
much.
Not too tight.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, 312-981, join the conversation. We're also going to be talking a little bit later on about all things space. We got some other great things coming up. But I just saw this story pop up, Saudi, and we were going to chat about this.
Oh, yeah.
This unbelievable deep fried whatever the heck this is, totaling 4,671 calories. This is a Glasgow native, Chris Orr. He runs the Wee Man's Kitchen in Australia, which is a great name for that.
Mm.
But he misses the taste of home, and he created this unbelievable thing. So we're going to be asking people what your favorite splurge item is. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but get those alligator names in, 312-981-7200, or any exotic pet stories that you have out there. I know some of you, I don't want to say illegally keep pets, but maybe you bend the rules, or maybe you're in a place that you can have exotic pets.
Or your friend has one.
Yes, as cleverly, I know someone who had this sort of pet. Give us a call, 312-981-7200. More after this on 720 WGN. We got a gator on 720 WGN. It's in the Humboldt Park Lagoon. They haven't caught it yet. At least last that we heard. First broke on Block Club Chicago. We're looking for a name for this gator. Block Club Chicago is looking for a name. Let's go to David. David, you're on 720.
Yeah, I was thinking of a stray cat because that's probably what it is, a bunch of stray cats. And also, as a reminder, keep your cats indoors.
Oh, yeah. If you're anywhere near Humboldt Park, you don't want anything running near that thing. So, wait, what did you name it? Stray cat?
Yeah, because that's what it's been eating.
Okay. All right. So you're just going with its diet?
Stray cat gator.
Stray cat gator. That's fine. That's its preferred diet. Let's go to Tucker. Tucker, you're on 720 WGN.
Hey, it's Trucker.
Rich. Oh, Trucker.
After my favorite cartoon on Saturday morning is Wally.
Oh, see, that's a good one. Wally the Gator, a little bit friendlier, you know?
Nice.
Yeah, got the derby hat and just doesn't really harm anybody. Just homes around.
He just homes around. It's not his fault he's in our lagoon. Someone put him there. Tucker, you ever have any experience with exotic pets?
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah.
I set you up really good for that trucker.
Other than when I was in the Army, we used to have snake fight or spider fights in foxholes.
Hold on. Spider fights? Like you'd have them fight against each other? They'd do it naturally and you'd bet on it?
Or would you throw them?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much like that. You know, somebody, one guy would catch one spider, another guy would catch another one. We'd dig a little pit and bet on which one was going to come out alive.
Oh, well,
wow.
When you're in that foxhole, you got to entertain yourself somehow.
Yeah, it's better than getting shot at, right?
Amen to that. Trucker, thanks for the call. Thanks for your service. We appreciate it.
Yep.
We're talking about
Have a good evening.
Yeah, you too. Talking about the alligator in the Humboldt Park Lagoon. 708 says, name him Houdini because he wasn't there, then he was. Then he wasn't, then he is. Now you see him, now you don't. I like that name.
Oh,
yeah, see Houdini
who is
the
that
gator.
From?
The texter, the 708.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Jan. Jan, you're on 720 WGN. What are you naming the gator?
Well, he's kind of shy, and he doesn't want to come out, and he's just hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he should be Humble Gator.
Humble Gator. I like that one, Jan.
In the Humble Park
do?
Lagoon.
Oh, I didn't
what
even.
Think?
I didn't
She's
even
on it.
Humble and Humble. I didn't even get the double entendre. Jan, I think you're our winner.
Wow, Jan, that's
Thank
pretty
you.
Awesome.
Ashley, round up a prize for Jan. There's got to be some pizza back there you can give her. Jan, where are you calling from here tonight?
Calling from Arlington Heights.
Oh, hey, my brother's a firefighter there, so if you're ever in trouble, give Drew a call, okay?
I will do that.
Well,
thank
do the,
you, and
the,
I love the gator. Thank you, he's awesome.
Humble Gator. I think that's our winner.
That's you know what I'm thinking also? It's the weather. It's hotter. Maybe someone released it because they knew it would survive a little in this
Yeah,
weather.
They're like, yeah, I see the. I watch Tom Skilling's forecast. I know it's going to be hot, so
yeah.
Let's let this thing go. Don't let go of your gators. Call a real person to make sure they solve this problem. But
so now it's Tom Skilling's fault.
I'm not blaming Tom. No, David,
really
no.
Good.
Mm-hmm. You know he'll call me. He'll go. I'll get a text. He's always listening. All right, we got 2 more hours left of Saudi and myself here on WGM, but it is 11 o'clock. You heard the tone. You heard the man with our news. Here's David Jennings. 720 WGN, happy Tuesday evening. It is 11:07, almost 11:08 on this Tuesday night from the Allstate Skyline Studio. Saudia Davis, John Hanson here until 1 o'clock. Then Nick DiGilio takes you to the morning. Saudia, sometimes things are so serendipitous because originally we were going to bring in Mike Wall, who's our space.com senior editor that we love to talk to, and we are going to talk to him now. I had to bump him back a half hour because of this alligator story.
Oh, man.
I know, right, which is never nice to do. But then, Mike, I completely forgot that you're a former herpetologist and wildlife biologist. Did you hear about this alligator in Chicago?
He's an alligator specialist.
No, but I would really love to hear about
well,
it.
Well, I'm going to tell you and all of our listeners. We have a lagoon that is completely landlocked, and we're, of course, here in Chicago where we don't see many alligators. And there's a 4 to 5 foot alligator swimming around in the lagoon. Someone saw it this morning. They took some pictures of it. One of our local reporters broke the story, and it took a few hours of looking at pictures. They've got some experts on scene, and they've confirmed that, yes, there's an alligator in the lagoon. This is a pretty sizable lagoon. It keeps on going down, keeps on coming up, but they're spending the night now. They've laid a few little traps. They've got someone, I imagine, a colleague of yours in that herpetologist world, Mike, who wants to get it. They're going to get it to the zoo. They imagine someone put it in there that was a pet that got too big. But, yeah, you ever encounter anything like that, a rogue alligator on the loose?
No, not personally. Rogue alligators. I mean, I've been down to Florida and seen wild ones who are where they're supposed to be. But yeah,
yes.
I mean, people get gators as pets or they get snakes as pets and they're not prepared for how big they're going to get or how hard they're going to be to take care of. And yeah, it's a bad move to do that to the gator because, I mean, it'll be fine for him now, but when it gets to be fall, when it gets to be winter, if they don't catch him, and yeah, he's not going to make it through a Chicago winter. That's for sure.
Yeah, right. How is there any danger to the alligator? They're even saying that they're trying to catch it tonight. Obviously, I think they're more active nocturnally, but more so.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll be the expert on that. I don't know why I'm telling you these things, but that they think that there's just so much commotion and activity that it's probably a little nervous.
Yeah, and they're pretty stealthy. I mean, just in general, you know, that's how they catch prey. Is they just sort of lie in wait for it, and then they ambush it. So they're kind of hard to see even when they're not nervous and not trying to hide. So yeah, like I'd imagine
it would be
extra stealthy. Yeah, if it's an unfamiliar place and it doesn't know what's going on, yeah, it'd probably be be very skulky, skulkier than it usually is.
Yeah.
Yeah, helicopters, lights, and action, and people. Yeah. It's probably hiding out.
Yeah, it sure is. And I got to say, and sorry to ask you so many questions about alligators, but well, we got you here.
No, it's totally fine.
It's a lagoon that actually people, there's like a beach. It's like our only inland beach in the area, and obviously people are keeping kids away. I mean, 4 to 5 feet seems really big to me. I know that they get much bigger than that. But, I mean, that's sort of a size you don't really want to mess around with, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's not big enough that you have to worry about it eating you or your kids or whatever.
Okay.
Or maybe a small dog. Yeah, they could eat a cat or a small dog. And if it's big enough and strong enough that if you're just like a local yahoo who goes up and tries to grab it, it could do serious damage to you. Those things, they're super strong, even at just like 4 feet long.
You hear that,
so,
yahoos
you don't
out there?
Try to jump on it or anything.
No yahoos go to the lagoon tonight. Stay away. All right, well, Mike, let's do that great transition now from reptiles to space. Yes, I chatted with Mike last time about his transition to this world of space, and you guys do such great work at space.com. Mike, I booked you before I even read any of your articles, and then I went to all the ones that you've had in the last week, and man, you guys are churning out so much content, but man, every week there's just new and exciting things happening. What are some of the things that really caught your eye and radar this week?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the biggest things that kind of took up a lot of our attention, I mean, this was just about a week ago actually, but the total solar eclipse that happened down in southern South America, we kind of spent a lot of time doing that, getting pictures of that, which was cool. I mean, even though it didn't cross, I mean, it wasn't visible from the U.S. or anywhere in the Northern Hemisphere, it still, since everybody does webcasts now, you can still watch it as it's happening, which is really cool.
And this was a total solar eclipse, right?
Yeah, and that's special. You know, it only happens like on average once every year and a half, 2 years or something. So it's just cool. Like, I mean, whenever that happens, it's worth taking like an hour out of your day to pay attention to it.
Oh, for sure.
And now we're in the ramp up like really fast now to all the Apollo 11 50th anniversary stuff. That's really, that's happening now because, you know, 50 years ago, just it's less than 2 weeks away when like the first people landed on the surface of the moon, you know, that's crazy. July 20th, 1969. And we're almost 50 years from that. It's just, so yeah, people love big round numbers. People love milestones. People are nostalgic, and it is a good reason to like kind of reflect and think about how amazing that was and what we're doing now and what we hope to do in the future as far as space travel goes.
Yeah, the moon landing and the whole Apollo missions and Gemini and Mercury leading up to those missions are just incredible. I was talking with my younger brother. We're big space nuts in terms of just on the surface level, just the things that the movies and the documentaries that we've all seen. But I don't remember exactly who the quote was. There was an Apollo astronaut who told everyone, hey, there's something in your pocket that has more power or memory or whatever the way he put it than we did on the spaceship, and everyone assumed that he was talking about his phone, but he was actually talking about our key fobs that open our cars, and just how, he wasn't even talking about the phone. Yeah. It's amazing what was able to become accomplished, and yes, of course, the technology by 1969 had advanced somewhat from the turn of the century and the start of the Industrial Revolution, but man, it's really incredible what they were able to accomplish on limited means.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I mean, they actually got those trajectories right from Earth to the moon. I mean, landing things on the moon, building these things. They're using slide rules. I mean, NASA did have a few giant computers, but you know, most of the calculations were done by hand, which is just, it's crazy. And they were pretty confident that they got all those numbers right, and they actually were. They're really smart people, very dedicated people. And what's even more kind of shocking from my perspective when you look back on it is like, I mean, like the first satellite went up October 1957.
That's Sputnik, right?
Yeah, right. That was Sputnik, and we got one up just a few months later. But then, I mean, 12 years later, I mean, not even 12 years after that, there's people on the moon. So, I mean, like a decade after the space age starts, basically, there are people standing on the moon. And that's, I mean, judging by how long it takes to get anything done these days, it's shocking that happened that fast back then, which is, it was a special set of circumstances. You know, there was, there was a full-on race to the moon between us and the Soviets. It was part of the Cold War. It was a technological pride, national pride thing. It was a national security thing. So that's the set of circumstances that's not in play today, but it's still crazy that it actually happened.
And I just love hearing the stories before they even get down to the technical nitty-gritty of how do we build this rocket? How do we build this docking station? How do we reach a docking in orbit? They had to come up with like just the general concept, because I imagine as they're you know, looking at this on the chalkboard, there's a few different options for what they can do and how to figure out even just the basics of how we're going to assemble and then get there throughout the multi-day process to even get to the moon.
There was a lot of it that was trial and error. And I mean, yeah, like that was obviously, I mean, Gemini was about kind of laying that foundation, and so was actually Mercury and like all that stuff that led up. But there was not a lot of experimentation. It was very quick. Like, well, let's do this. Okay. Not like we can do a spacewalk. We prove that people can survive outside of a vehicle in space. Okay. Let's dock with this spaceship. Okay. We've proven that we can actually dock two vehicles in space. So now we're ready to move on. Like, it was just boom, boom, boom. And then, of course, you're doing something that's unprecedented. You actually are taking that leap where you're like, we're going to land people on the moon. We just have to do it for the first time. There's practicing, and then there's just that only takes you so far. You actually have to do it. And yeah, it's pretty crazy. It was dangerous then. It's definitely still dangerous now, but it was even more dangerous back in those early days. I mean, like, we don't know the kind of full like extent of how dangerous it was. I mean, on like the Soviet side, at least, there were some fatalities, and most space historians think that a lot of fatalities we don't know about on the Soviet side, because, you know, it was a loss of face to like kind of admit anything that went wrong, and that was a closed society. So we'll probably don't know, I mean, how many people like actually lost their lives on the Soviet side trying to race to the moon. But it's definitely, it's like it's up there.
And of course, people on the American side remember Apollo 1, and then since then, of course, the Challenger and Columbia as well. Mike, well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but Sonica, we were talking about, Mike was mentioning Sputnik and satellites, and one of your stories about the recent earthquake and the imagery, there's this little nugget in there about how big the satellites are that capture these photos that I'm just blown away by, and we're going to tease that and leave it right there. More after this on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It is, what time is it? 11:21 here on this Tuesday evening. We're talking with Mike Wall, who's the senior editor of space.com. And, Saudi, while we have you here, you're from the Bay Area, and we're going to be talking about earthquakes. And you lived through one of the big earthquakes that we know of, yeah?
Yeah, one of the biggest. I mean, 1989, I was in high school. Go ahead, date me. And the funniest thing, I was just mentioning to John, I actually didn't feel it because our high school is on bedrock in the Flood Mansion. And so it's this weird suspended disbelief because the whole city shook and a bridge fell.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It was delayed. The World Series Game 3.
That's right.
Was supposed to be starting, just about to be underway, and it didn't start. But, of course, the powerful Southern California earthquakes we had this past week, the initial one, and then, of course, an aftershock. But it seems like the first one was more of a prequel or whatever they want to call it, a pre-shock. Anyways, the reason, Mike Wall, we're talking about that from a space perspective is, man, we have gotten some incredible images from space about what's happened to Southern California. Oh, I didn't turn Mike on. Great lead up. Go ahead, Mike.
Some of the imagery that we've got from, they actually, multiple satellites have been imaging that area and have seen like cracks in the surface of the Earth that were caused by this kind of swarm of quakes. And you were talking before the break, one of them, which we actually wrote about, like one of these little satellites that has managed to capture really amazing imagery of this, and this new crack in the Earth's surface, is a CubeSat, and it's about the size of a loaf of bread.
A loaf,
which is
that's incredible.
Crazy. Yeah, and it's got these amazing optics on it. This camera they've got is super sharp. It can get down to like and see things as small as 10 feet on the surface of the Earth from space. It's nuts.
And my phone on my camera is blurry, and I can't figure that out. It's almost as big as a loaf of bread. Are there a lot of satellites? I mean, I guess I don't really know how big a normal, quote-unquote, normal satellite is. I know that they're not all that ginormous. They got to fit on top of a rocket and be deployed into space. I kind of picture the size of this room, a satellite, right? And I imagine there are plenty that are that size. Do we have a lot of satellites that are smaller than people think out there?
Yeah, that's something that's just started happening just in the past few years is as the electronics revolution continues to gain steam, you know, everything's smaller, smaller, smaller. You know, your phone is packing so much functionality into this little, I mean, it's big because it's got the screen, but it's packing so much functionality into tiny spaces on those transistors and everything. And that's worked its way into the satellite market. And so it's becoming pretty cost effective.
That's what I was wondering.
These highly, highly functional satellites that are really little. And so they aren't that expensive to build, and they don't weigh very much, and they don't take up very much space in a rocket. So, like, you can launch a bunch of them on the same rocket, or you can just kind of hitch a ride. You don't have to buy the entire launch. And that's something that's really started happening just in the last few years, is we're seeing a lot of these little satellites going up and doing serious work up in space, you know, keeping an eye on earthquakes and, seeing if there are wildfires burning, watching out for crops, seeing how crop yields are, seeing if there's flooding anywhere. There's just so many uses that we're seeing these tiny satellites being put to now.
How durable are they?
Yeah, that's a good question, because when you talk about there's a lot of these satellites going up and space is getting kind of crowded, people are worried about that. It's like, how long do they stay up there? Is there a chance they could smash into each other? Because if they do, that's a really bad thing, because it creates all these little shards of sharp metal flying around the Earth at 17,000 miles an hour.
That's,
you know?
No good. That's
space,
no good.
That's like space trash. Yeah. Is that space pollution?
Yeah, right. That's a serious problem, because then you're talking about endangering other satellites that are worth maybe $1 billion, or endangering the International Space Station. So what's good is that people are talking about this, and they're actually addressing it by saying, you know, we're going to launch these little things that we're going to launch hundreds of and actually thousands of in the coming years. We're going to launch them pretty low, so that when they're done, they'll just naturally deorbit. Because if you launch them low enough, they can still do their job, but there's still a little bit of air up there, a little bit of atmosphere. I mean, you can never breathe it, but there are air molecules up there, and they'll create drag on these satellites. And so bit by bit over time, they'll just fall back to Earth. And if you put them at the low enough orbit where they can still do their job, but they're still low enough, they'll just kind of naturally fall back to Earth over, just
safely,
like 5 or 10 years, maybe.
Safely,
these like little ones will burn up in the atmosphere. Nothing of them will make it to the Earth's surface.
That's good.
I don't know. You know, Mike, this conversation for some reason is getting me really excited. I'm listening to you, going, this is fascinating.
I told you, Mike was good.
I need a fan.
Well, you know, you mentioned, Mike, you're really overwhelming us here at 720 WGN. You mentioned needing a fan. It's going to be really hot here. Yeah. We're in the middle of summer season, of course. What season is it in parts of Mars I saw you writing about?
Well, it's definitely dust storm season in parts of Mars. Northern Mars, it's dust storm season because it's the spring up there. And,
okay.
Mars gets a ton of dust storms. This is another thing where it's just, there was a spacecraft orbiting Mars. There are multiple spacecraft orbiting Mars now. Europe has one, and it's been taking photos of these northern dust storms by the Martian North Pole. And it's just capturing photos of these dust storms kind of swirling south from the ice cap down toward the equator, and stumbling up onto the slopes of Olympus Mons, the biggest mountain in the solar system, this huge volcano. So yeah, that's just kind of cool. You can get a picture of a dust storm and the biggest mountain in the solar system and the ice cap on another planet, like all in the same frame. That's pretty cool.
And they're all at space.com. You guys do great work there. Before we let you go, because you mentioned Mars.
And I heard Martians, so...
Yes, yes.
That's what
you're
I
mean. In. Yeah,
yeah. So...
Yeah, that's for everyone there now. But I want to know, I know this is a loaded question, and it's worth billions of dollars if you know the right answer. If you had to put a year on it, when are we getting to Mars? And when are we as humans and being able to come back? I know that's loaded as can be.
That's not the question I thought you were going to ask.
Well, we'll start with this one and see if we get there.
Yeah, I think that we're going to do it before the end of the 2040s. I think maybe
really?
2035 maybe. But I don't think it's going to be NASA that does the first one. I think it's going to be SpaceX.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And NASA is going to get there, but they're going to do it carefully and slowly. And I think Elon Musk, not that he won't be careful, but he's not. Yeah, he doesn't have all the bureaucratic red tape to have to get through. And I think he is just dead set on Mars. That's why he said it many times. That's why he became rich. That's what everything's building toward, is to help us settle Mars. And so he's dead serious about it. And so I think in the mid-2030s, there's a really, really good chance there'll be people walking around on Mars.
Well, that sounds like a long way away, but it ain't. What was your question?
My question is there anybody walking around right now? I'm just saying, you know, there's a lot out there lately about, you know, other intelligence. How do you fare with that conversation?
I think it's crazy to think that we're the only planet where there's life, considering how much is out there. You know, there's 200 billion stars just in our galaxy.
Yeah.
And we've just learned in the past five or 10 years that about a quarter of those stars have like a potentially Earth-like planet where it's rocky and it's about the right distance from the star where it's warm enough for water to be liquid on the surface. So you're talking about 50 billion planets just in our galaxy. And it's just, it's crazy for me to think that there's nothing on every single one of those planets. There's just nothing. There's
got to
be something somewhere. But that there's just huge distances involved, and probably most of it is actually just like very simple life. You know, it's probably just like bacterial life on most planets, because we were bacteria only here on Earth for about 3 billion years before animals evolved, plants evolved, all that stuff. That took a really long time.
Just a quick 3 billion.
So
yeah, that's it.
Hey, and if you do find life, we're going to find it on space.com first, right? You're going to break it, Mike.
We will definitely write about it. Sure.
We're counting on you, Mike.
We got to get going over to the news. But, Mike, it's so great to chat with you. I'm so glad we got to reconnect again. And thanks for being always willing to call on to WGN here in Chicago. And I'm sure we'll talk in the future soon, okay?
No worries. Always good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you, too. Space.com, check it out. They got great stuff. Quick break, then the news on 720 WGN. WGN. Those are the sounds of Southside Jake. We'll say hi to him in 1 second. But hello, it's Saudia Davis. We're hosting here until 1 o'clock. Saudia's got her apothecary. I stole your line there. Are you feeling okay right now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got all my remedies. My best girlfriend, Tari Teray, she's a singer, and she hooked me up.
Yeah, you're all set with droplets galore and
Slippery
tea.
Elm.
Yes.
It's going down easy.
There we go. We got to say hi to Southside Jake. Jake, we've had you on the show before. And welcome back to WGN.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to speak with you both and everybody else. So,
yeah.
Salud.
So, to those of you out there who don't know who Southside Jake is, give us a little bit of who you are and what you do.
Well, Southside Jake is me. I'm a Chicagoan. I'm a rapper, a musician, a songwriter, but basically a hip-hop artist and MC. And we're here to probably talk a little bit about that and maybe a little life. I do some other things as well.
Yeah, so, I wanted to ask because you work for Cameo.
I work for Cameo.
And what is Cameo? And Cassadia is interested now, and so am I. You guys do some... It's a really cool platform that, you know, we're in this day and age where you can connect with people in a way that you've never been able to before. And when that celebrity retweets you or replies to you, it's like the greatest thing. And you guys kind of taking that idea and put it on a bigger scale.
Yeah, Cameo, to give you the elevator pitch, is the new autograph, as they say, right? So basically, it's a website, an app where a fan, a follower can purchase a personalized video from a celebrity or a tastemaker or an influencer. So in theory, you can go on cameo.com, pay a few dollars, and have your favorite person say, Ozzie Guillen, at random, wish you a personalized message. So instead of, hey, happy birthday, it'd be, hey, Saudia, happy birthday. I hope things are going well at WGN. You know, love Ozzie Guillen. So,
oh, I like
isn't
that.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you buy it for someone else, like as a greeting card sort of message? You can have them say whatever they want, or how does that work?
Oh, yeah, of course. That's most of them are gifts.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, it's John's birthday. What do we do? Let's get whoever.
I always do that for my dog walker. She's like, just get me a celebrity person's autograph and a bottle of wine.
Well, shameless plug. You can get him, get him or her a Cameo now,
that's
and you'll be
Vanessa.
All set. Right. Southside Jake's on Cameo for $7.
That's my next gift.
Yeah, you're
to
trying
Vanessa.
To get me to sign up. I think it'll be about $1.25.
I think you should do it. I think you should do it for about $15. I think you're a bigger name than you realize. I think Saudia should do it. I think who else we got? Everyone should do
it. So are you saying that depending on the celebrity, it increases in value?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, within reason, there's a range, but, you know, we'd work together, but the talent would kind of name their own price. So, like, I'm a musician, right? But, like, admittedly, I know where I'm at as far as we're on an uptick. It's all good. But,
right.
You know, I'm not
yeah.
number one on the Billboard charts, right?
Right.
right? So a
not
guy
yet.
Like guy like me's on there $7, $9, $10.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Got it.
I think not to re-reference Oz again. I think he's more like a $40, $50.
Oh, okay. That's still attainable. Okay. That's not. I mean, that's. I mean, I know a lot of people are busy and they're. You know, they're not. I'm sure they're in it to make. You know, you make a couple extra bucks. But what a cool way to connect with people and to keep your name out there and someone like a message like from a sports guy. I know you're doing a lot with some former Hawks players and Hawks broadcasters. That's got to be huge.
It's the best. We got Dennis Savard on there working on a few other guys, so it's all good. But it's a Chicago company. It started here by a guy named Stephen Galanis, who's from the Northwest suburbs. Worked at LinkedIn for a long time. I'll spare you, but I love it because it's a Chicago-based thing,
nice.
And they just got their Series B funding, and
fantastic.
It's becoming, it already was established, but now it's like, oh, this is really kind of striding for
yeah.
me right now.
It's real.
That's cool stuff.
Yeah, so it's great.
So rap, where does it come from, Southside Jake?
Who knows? Fort City, I guess.
That's
so,
right. Fort City native, right?
Yeah, you've heard the spiel. I'm from the Southwest side, 76th and Kildare in the Fort City apartments, condos. That's where it started. And I don't know, just a little kid, maybe it was the right time. I would just always be drawn towards hip-hop and rap and writing and... always did it as kind of a play around goof sort of thing. Somewhere around, you know, the early 20s, it was like, oh, maybe we should pursue this. And now I won't give away or date myself, as you didn't want to earlier.
But I did.
Yeah, right. Someone had to know the year of that
thing to do some math.
Yeah, though.
Yeah, no, but that's really cool. I mean, I'm curious about a couple of things. Instruments, do you play any? And then are you familiar with this new show called Rapture on Netflix? Because you have a unique sound.
Rapture, I believe, and I shouldn't speak out of pocket and take guesses live on the radio.
Yeah, we do it all the time. Go ahead.
Chance the Rapper, kind of the voice rap version that they were doing?
I'm not sure that
Cardi
project.
Cardi B have like a judge hip-hop
yeah,
show
no, no, no.
coming
the,
or
no, this
soon.
Is a, this is literally a documentary on multiple. It starts out with... I've seen groundbreaking artists share their life stories.
You can't see my eyes but on the radio, but yes, light bulb moment seeing that. And also Showtime has this huge Wu-Tang documentary going on right now.
That's the directors of it. They're amazing.
Yeah, they got 2 Chainz, G-E-Z-T-I.
Exactly.
They have different episodes for each one. Oh, that's cool.
And it tells the story. And so it's a really diverse group of rappers and their histories and legacies and coming out of Chicago and where you're from. I want to check that out.
That's my favorite. All I ever want to do is watch the behind the scenes true story of Channel 11, which I don't know if we're affiliated or not. They had one that was basically, they took all the old classic rock stuff and just really took you down a rabbit hole of like how it was recorded, why it was recorded, where it was recorded. So the documentary type stuff that's been around the last, I mean, it's been around forever, but I feel like we've been tripling down.
They're
the
just
last,
getting better.
Yeah, it's
you
so
know,
fun.
Music is being influenced a lot more.
Oh, for sure. I'm obsessed.
So do you play any instruments?
I play what I call campfire guitar.
Okay.
Oh, that's, yeah. Seriously.
So if there was a guitar in my hand, I could make it go, but to call myself a guitarist would be wrong.
Oh,
right. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like,
okay.
We get better people than me for
we
that.
We could sing Kumbaya. Yeah. We could.
Yeah, but you we got, can get you a little free.
You partner with some
something.
Really great musicians.
Yeah, because the acoustics on the track that we were playing sounds great.
Well, you have to know your limitations. So my whole thing with learning campfire guitar was I was always good at top lining, which is, you know, writing the lyrics on top of a created instrumental. So I was a little frustrated in the studio of trying to describe things to the instrumentalist without maybe knowing the proper verbiage or any chords or anything. So I taught myself enough guitar to get by. So instead of telling the instrumentalist in the studio, hey, make it happier, I could at least, you know, play an open
a little
D
bit
or
something.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they play it proper. And I'm like, yeah, that's the one. That's what we're looking for. You know, so it helps.
Yeah, because music is its own language and you can't use sometimes the English words don't exist to quantify what that thing is that you're trying to get across.
Me 5 years ago in the studio would have been laughable. Just like, I'll make it nicer. What does that mean? learn
more major keys.
Yeah. Yeah.
But maybe
there
a little
go.
Minor in there too. I don't
right,
know.
Right, exactly. Make it happier.
Softer,
I want to talk to you about the grind. We talk about it a lot. And, you know, I think in this day and age, and you and I are similar ages, Jake, so I
22.
Think, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, when we were growing up, instant success wasn't so prevalent as it is today. I think, obviously you had a lot of young stars, but now so many people that are, I think, younger than us, younger generations, they grew up on Instagram or YouTube, and they kind of expect that immediate success, and they're really going for that. And for the people that are able to do it, God bless them. But for the rest of us, careers are long, winding, grinding journeys. Do you find that tough, or is that just kind of in who you are and you know the grind of a musician making their way up?
Well, sometimes I feel like if you make your decision that you're going to do something and you're dead set on it, that's going to become heck or high water no matter what. Like, we're just going to do that. So there's no doubt nowadays you're a tweet away or an Instagram post away or a retweet away from, like, being huge. We're from a slightly, you know, maybe 10 years ago generation that's a little more old school, handout CDs, show up in person, that kind of stuff. But I love it. The knowing, like, that is the root of where I've come from, and now I know that, like, I can post this clip of me on WGM on Instagram tomorrow, and somebody might repost it.
Right.
It's still a grind, and I'm hustling, but let's be honest. Like, tomorrow I'm just going to post this from, you know, the car.
So it's a blend of the two.
Yeah. You know. But I love the backbone of the actual old school show up, grind, work hard, jump on the train. Hey, you want to come on the radio? Yeah, what time, minute? Okay, I'll be there. You know what I mean? No matter what kind of stuff.
So. And that's why we call you, because we know you'll show up.
We're here.
We couldn't get anybody else.
We got to take a quick commercial break. After the break, we're going to hear one of your songs. Really quickly, in case someone has just turned off the radio to go to bed, you got a show next Saturday, right?
July 26th.
Is that a Saturday?
It's a Friday night.
Friday.
It's at the House of Blues. It is July 26th. It's put on by Shoeshine Boy Productions, who is a friend of your program. A gentleman named Paul. I believe his name is Farvar. I don't want to say
I know Paul. So Paul Farvar.
Paul's helping out with the show. But yeah, July 26th, Friday night, House of Blues, Chicago. Link to tickets and things like that are in all my socials, and which is always just at Southside Jake.
Nice.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, then here's some of Southside Jake after this on 720 WGN. Saudia Davis to my right, Southside Jake to my left, and I'm John Hanson. We're here till 1 o'clock. Let's get right into it, Southside Jake. What are we about to hear?
We are about to hear one of my songs called Slow Motion. It's a collaborative effort with another Chicagoland artist named Kid Russell. We will be performing it on July 26th at the House of Blues.
Way to get that plug in there again. Go ahead, Ashley. Go ahead and play it.
And performing, yeah. I was doing mine when out the corner of my eye caught a dime. She stopped time. Goddamn, she was fine. I gotta make her mine. What's the line? Go say hi. Too nervous, better not. Better start with sending baby girl a shot.
And they say shots kill the butterflies. Girl, you're looking mighty fly. Do you mind if I steal a moment of your time? Shots kill the butterflies. Girl, you're looking mighty fly. Do you mind if you make a moment in time?
Soul. I can't help it, man, that's just how I roll. What's your number? Once you put it in my phone, we don't have to spend our lives all alone. Think of this, you and me slow dancing at home. Let's put back just a little Patron. She rolled her eyes, but her smile never stopped. I think she's about to give the kid a shot.
And they say shots kill the butterflies. Girl, you're looking mighty fly. Do you mind if I steal a moment of your time? Shots kill the butterflies. Girl, you're looking mighty fly. Do you mind if we make a moment in time?
Wanna catch your wave like the ocean. Like an
That was awesome, Southside Jake. Slow Motion, any inspiration behind that? What are we, it's a great song.
Thank you. Appreciate it. That one was just meant to be light and summery. The inspiration was we were kind of taking ourselves serious at bit of kind of like maybe seeing that person of your dreams, that woman of your dreams, and time freezes. And then we realized maybe we're being a little too serious. So same concept, but just meant to be lighter, more fun, poppier. You catch that person's eye and everything slows down in slow motion.
I know a lot of people ask, oh, what are your inspirations? But do you take it from just everyday life? Do you take it from your growing up experience, your family life, or just kind of whatever floats your boat in that moment?
You got to pull it from everywhere. I mean, not to patronize on a Chicago radio station, you know, born and raised southwest side of Chicago, taking the city into Whitney Young and buses and trains and just whatever that, you know, grit-filled life is, taking it from there. And then musically, I'm all over the board. I love the Beatles just as much as I love Jay-Z, just as much as I love Metallica. So, you know, it's literally a hodgepodge. Yeah, it's all over the place, you know.
So are you romantic? Because that's in your lyrics.
I am. I'm a bit of a catch-22. I keep a goofy facade and all this stuff on the outside, but if you catch a layer deeper, yeah, you might catch a little bit of that.
You got to go deeper.
You got to go deep.
This is a good moment, by the way, guys. Yeah. This is really sweet. So, Jake, you and I have crossed paths a couple different places. You're doing voiceover stuff and with the Chicago Blackhawks, we mentioned, and now you're doing Cameo and everything like that. What do you envision? I mean, do you have any, like, roadmap, or do you kind of go as the flow goes? Because obviously you have your day gig with a great new company. You're grinding it with the music stuff. I mean, is the dream, and of course you love Cameo, of course, but I mean, the dream has got to be...
Yeah, musical, what is the dream?
What is the dream?
The goal for me is to live off of your creativity and to be financially stable off of the creativity, right? So whether that's, because I do voiceover, as you mentioned, on the side for like radio and TV, so whether that's 90% voice and 10% music or however we get there, live off your creativity one way or the other and be financially stable. So we don't need to be rich off that, but... You know, let's fund our life completely using our vocal cords or whatever else is going on.
Yeah,
that's a great way. That's to our goal too. Yeah, hello.
See you at the
side
meeting.
Hustles.
Yeah, see you at the meeting. Yes, the side hustle meeting, and all three of us can have a few chats about that.
Right,
House of Blues. What a great venue to play. Have you played? You played there before, right?
No. I played bigger ones around town.
You're at Lala too. At one point,
I've done Lala a couple times. Don't get it twisted. Noon side stage stuff, but I've done Lala a few times.
You've done Lala.
On stage. Yes. At Lala.
Yes, ma'am. All Truth. Good. I just don't like to, you know, spin a tail. I did also giant asterisks. I did the United Center for a charity event, which was like mind blowing. Now, it wasn't 20,000. It was probably like 300, 400, 500.
That's great.
But like on center court with the spotlights and the whole deal. So my last show was literally at the United Center, which is insane.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got House of Blues, which is just... I mean, what a marquee bucket list item.
You're climbing.
I'm so excited. I can't wait. So please show up so that there's not 12 of us in there floating around.
I can't go. So that's minus one. I'm sorry.
One.
Yeah, okay. you're down one. Really quickly, one more time, the details of that show and then where people can find out more information about you.
That show is July 26th at the House of Blues Chicago. You can find more info on that and all of my stuff on social media. Everything's at Southside Jake. Facebook is Southside Jake. Twitter is Southside Jake. Instagram is Southside Jake. No underscores, nothing weird. SouthsideJake.com.
It's good branding.
Nothing weird. I like that. Yeah, all the underscores throw me off sometimes.
It
nice job to
me
get
sometimes.
That.
Yeah. Like, Southside Jake _999.
Or the Southside Jake or Southside Jake 1 or ask. Yeah. No.
Southside Jake.
I like that. Hey, Jake, thanks for stopping by.
I can't thank you guys enough for the hospitality and the platform, so I appreciate you guys.
I'd say any time, but wait for us to call you. Okay?
Yes, sir. Understood.
More after this on 720 WGN.
We need love music.
Oh, this is love music. There we go.
Oh, hey.
We got more love music coming on up. Sonny Davis here until 1 a.m. with John Hansen, and then Nick DiGilio will take over till 5 a.m. Yeah, you want some love music, which we'll get to because we're going to talk a little love, which is a good transition you were pointing out from Southside Jake and his romantic. Mm-hmm. So the story, here's how we're entering this conversation, but we can take it in any direction you want to. 312-981-7200 is the number. You can text us or call us to join this conversation, and please do because we want you to join this conversation because it's a good one. So Whoopi Goldberg, of course, co-host of The View. So many movies. I think she's
Academy
got an Oscar.
Award
yeah,
winner.
She's got an Oscar. She's done it all. She's great.
Yeah.
And she kind of reveals she's been married, what, three times?
Three times.
She says that certainly the first time and other times after that, she says now that marriage isn't for her, which I think is a line that sometimes we hear and we throw out there, but she really means it.
Yeah, because what she realized is she kept trying to do it because she thought it's what she needed to do. And when you get to know yourself, it's impactful and empowerful when you do things because of what you feel. And so she got to that place where it's like, this isn't for me.
Do you think there's a lot of people out there that are married today, maybe our listeners, that are married because that is the construct, that's the social construct. You get to a certain age.
Absolutely.
You're supposed to couple up and that's why you did it.
Absolutely. I mean, I had someone say to me, Sadia, you're not married because you don't want to be. I was like, what? Are you kidding? Everybody who knows me knows I want to be married. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? And he goes, no, here's the thing. You don't want what you believe marriage to be. And I was like, oh,
That's deep.
Keep talking.
Yeah.
So this elder friend of mine said, here's the thing. Most people go into marriage with an assumption of what they believe it to be without communicating what their thoughts on marriage are.
To their partner.
To their partner.
Here's what I think this is.
Oh my gosh, right? So they make an agreement not realizing the agreements that are being made.
Interesting.
And then all of a sudden it's not working. So key point, I like a little bit of space. I'm not a clinger oner.
Right.
You know what I mean? But guys are like, oh, I don't want you to be too clingy. Well, you know, I'm busy, you know? So two people, here's what he said to me. It's an agreement between two people. A marriage is an agreement between two people. You get to decide what your rules are and what you want. And it's best to have that conversation before you tie the knot.
You know, you bring up a really great point, or the elder friend of yours does, because I'm married.
Yeah.
And I don't think we ever had the conversation of what our marriage would look like. Now, we're doing fine. We're 6 months in only, so it's relatively new, and it's great.
Congratulations,
thank you,
John.
But everyone comes from a different background.
Yep.
Some people have parents that are happily ever after. Some people have parents that are divorced. Some people have parents that are remarried. Some people raised by a single parent, of course. So everyone comes from a different background. So you're right, like that, whatever holy matrimony is to people, whether it's holy or whether it's secular, non-secular, whatever it is, you're right that we are coming from such different backgrounds. And even if you're the best communicators before you're married, it's interesting that the idea of what will our marriage look like, not only for the first year, but as we evolve as a couple. And so you would advise, I imagine, that people kind of sit down and have that little chat.
Hey, listen, I think it's important to have it. I've got some good friends who are married. They're young couples and they're doing great. And I like to learn and I ask questions. I'm like, what's making it tick? Actually, can I make a suggestion?
Please do.
For all of those gals and guys out there and whoever your partner is, just love them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, it makes a difference when, you know, manscaping happens or... Can I say
you
that?
You say manscaping. Oh, yes, you can.
But I
just didn't think that's where you were going.
Yeah, yeah. After I read the article, I went to this Brazilian spa, and I got to give props out to my girl, you know, Bras at the Brazilian spa. There was a guy coming out as I was going in, and I'm like, that's right. It should be for men and women. Everybody, it'll change your life. I got to tell you. Obrigada. Ciao.
We've gone down a little lane here.
That's a little thank you for all of you out there that don't speak Portuguese. But seriously, like, it's important to spice up things and keep it fun and fresh, right?
And I think about, you know, when you think about keeping relationships fresh and where you're going to go on this journey, it's about choosing things to do that are interactive, that are fun. And look, every relationship is going to go through periods where it's a little bit more stale. You're used to each other, these sorts of things. And of course, here it is, the guy who's been married 6 months speaking this truth. So 312-981-7200.
How do you keep it fresh?
How do you keep it fresh? So this is open to all of our callers and our listeners here. We're past the midnight hour here. This is with the witching hour on a Wednesday morning. So you let us know. Maybe you're one of those people that has been married a few times. It just didn't work. Maybe you've been married once. You divorced. It's not for you and you totally get where we're coming from. Or maybe you've been married 50 or 60 years.
Or even 12, 15 and you're getting it right.
Right. And we want to know how. Exactly.
Tell us.
We want to know your hints. By the way, I think we have one of your friends calling in on the line right now.
Who's on the line?
Is it Terry? Teray?
Is it Tari?
Tari.
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 Sorry. Hey, girl.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you all doing?
Good. You're a friend of Sadia, so you're a friend of mine.
Oh, right. Well, we all friends up in here, and we just skate.
So, marriage, are you married? You want to introduce your friend here for us, Saadia?
Tari is an Grammy Award winning writer, singer. She hooked me up with my little apothecary over here.
We got a Grammy winner here on the show now?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And she has this incredible relationship. She and her husband are both artists, and they make it work. And I just thought, you know what? Let's talk about how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, could you share some stuff?
I mean, it works, but I think that every relationship has its own fingerprint. It has its own footprint, and it's unique. So what works for us may not work for someone else, but what we did was we just figured out how to manage, the rhythm that we wanted to carry, how we wanted to connect, how our communication is how we flow with one another.
Did you guys have a conversation before you were married about what you would look like in your marriage, or did that sort of evolve naturally after you got married?
Good question.
Yeah, we did the thing that we were told not to do. We were told to go to counseling, and we were told to talk about everything, and we did none of that. and we just had a great wedding. And when the wedding was over, we were both like, now what? Because this feels like it felt when we were together before the day.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was a now what moment, but it was kind of like, okay, well, we'll just figure it out as we go. So we just spent time, and we made an effort to invest, time, or to set that time up that we invested in the marriage, where we did things that made us better.
Mm-hmm.
We read books together. We talked about things. We listened to the same music, or we would, if there's a chapter in the book that he read in the book, maybe I'm not reading the book, but he said, "Hey, this is a great chapter. You got to read it.
I read it.
So it's like having the same information for us. I think information is power, and that's how we is. I have some observations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes people forget to share information. So if you have information and I don't have it, I think that's probably a setup for failure.
Yeah, got to connect, got to talk, got to talk out loud. Because I think we often assume that our partner knows something about what we're thinking or what we're doing. And if you don't actually put it into words to that person,
they're not going to know.
And even as well as you know someone. How long have you guys been married, by the way?
We are hitting 14 years on September the 4th.
All right. See?
You got that date down. Labor Day weekend. You're like, that's when we got married. We know. We picked a three-day weekend, so everyone got that Monday off. That's how good your wedding was.
Yeah, it was over 1,000 people there.
Oh!
It was 1,041 people. We only invited 300. We like to say we had the world's most crashed wedding in the heart of Chicago. Like, where? Wherever weddings have been crashed, ours was crashed the most.
I love that. 1,041, but who's counting the exact number?
The young man that owned the building was counting. He had
the fire marshal was counting, exactly.
They had that clicker, and they were just standing there clicking away. And I was so nervous.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, my God, this is not going to go well. And they did actually try to cancel the wedding on the day because there were so many people there. But I was like, listen, if people want to celebrate love, how can you stop that?
Amen.
That was my whole only question I have, though. How do you stop people from celebrating the one thing we need to celebrate the most?
And I have to say, you guys celebrate it in a wonderful way. Did you guys sing? Did you sing at your own wedding?
So we wrote a play for our wedding.
Whole
entire play about the story of how we met, got together, broke up, got back together, broke up, got back together, broke up again, got back together.
Oh, and that could go on for I've lost minutes. Track.
So that may have actually been a lot of the success. They were working it out before they got married. So that's actually a good point.
No wonder 1,000 people come. They thought it was a show. They showed up at the Chicago Theater, wherever the heck you had this thing. They got tickets and everything.
Hey.
Yeah. We were at the Parkway Ballroom.
Oh, there you go.
We wrote an entire script. We had lights, we had camera, we had a live band, we had a DJ, and we had an entire play staff. So people that were working our set and running the different scenes and changing the scenery and background work for us. We did costume changes. The wedding was set up, but I'm totally against. I won't say I'm against tradition, but I just don't have the spirit for tradition the way it's kind of given to other people. So I'm a different girl. I'm an artist. And when he asked me to marry me, I was like, yeah, can we not do the wedding where we spend all the money and then the people leave and say, what's her name?
Right.
Right. Well, ain't no one forgetting you had the playbill out there, too. Who's playing? Wait, did you guys play yourselves, or did you have people playing the characters?
We played ourselves.
Oh, good.
We invited the people in our lives. Like, the guy that introduced us, he played himself. The people that were in our lives, some of the poetry set people, because my husband's a poet, so some of the poets that were around us that did certain poems that affected our lives and affected the way we romantically connected, they came and performed those poems. We told the story.
Yes.
There were acted out lines. There were scenery changes. There was a soundtrack that we wrote for the play.
We need to make like a documentary of this. Let me just say this. Her husband is Jay Ivey. Jay Ivey gave Mr. Stevens, we know as John Legend, the name John Legend.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They're deep.
Oh, my gosh.
Tari, thank you so much.
No wonder why
you
had a play. Oh, Tari, I need to get you. I work at WCIU. I need to get you on our morning show.
Exactly.
We need to talk through this for 2 hours.
Yes.
Because
it would be so much fun.
Please tell me there's a video of this thing somewhere can replay or something.
Not to mention she's got an incredible track that brings tears to my eyes called, what is it, Tari? Love You? What is it?
I Love You.
I Love You, it's not released yet, so that's a whole nother conversation.
All right, Tari, we got to go to a commercial break. I got to say, I'm so glad Saudia brought you on here and you called on in because you are a fascinating person. We got to talk more about your wedding some other time, okay?
Okay, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, sis. All right.
All right, Donna, hang on the line because you're going to be next here on 720 WGN. There's your love music, Saudia. There we go.
Oh, is that Eric Clapton?
Ashley Byun's got you covered.
Yeah.
Ashley, any love advice? Are you in a relationship, Ashley? Anything you could share on the radio?
I am in a relationship. It's actually 8 months yesterday.
Ooh.
8 months. You've made it past the 90-day mark.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, well past that. You're flying towards a year.
I know. It's crazy.
Hang on.
Well, hang on. Hang on. And this is like a family reunion here with Saudia now in the midnight hour. Saudia Davis and John Hansen here on WGN. Who we got next? Who we got lined up calling us for one of your... You got Donna, right? Donna, how you doing? You're on WGN.
I'm fine. Thank you. Hi, Saud.
Hey, Donna. That's my cousin. Yes. What's going on?
California here.
How's it going in California? 10:23 in the evening. You feel good out there?
Yeah, I'm exhausted. We're in the process of moving, so I've been packing, and I'm just exhausted. Selling the house, we're just exhausted.
You're exhausted.
But you're exhausted. But I'm looking at 42 years you've been married. Okay.
We would have been married 32 years.
32.
Okay. I was like, wait a minute.
It would be 42 years we've been together.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
42 years together. So, what are your wise words? What do you got for us, Donna?
Okay, something quick here. All I want to say is, when it comes to relationships, see, I happen to have a wonderful husband. I really do. And I'm a good wife. But you can't wing it. Don't try to wing a relationship, especially when you're married, because it's hard enough being with someone else and dealing with someone else every day of your life. I just got lucky, and James happens to be a really nice man. He's good to my family, to his family. It's just a wonderful thing. But I'm really, really, really on communicating. And if you're together a really long time like we have been, you could actually start to flow in different directions.
Mm.
We're still there. We still love each other, this whole thing. But you can start to steer in different directions because it's been so long. So you have to communicate and talk. There are times my husband will, I make a lot of the decisions, you know. There are times that he will wait until everything is screwed up after I make the decision. And so, you know what I was thinking? Honey, why didn't you tell me that then? I really needed the help. You know? So you really have to communicate with your spouse and don't take them for granted.
Mm.
Don't think you know a person really well because you're with them for a long time, because people are people, and there's always something new to learn from them, even your spouse.
Oh, Donna, thank you for laying down the knowledge.
And people change, too.
People change over time.
When you're there that long, and if you're really in for the long haul, and I think that's what you're saying about, you know, being prepared to communicate and really chat and don't just wing it. I imagine you've got to go, if you're in it for the long haul, and Donna is, and I sure hope I am, it's a matter of as that person changes, it's embracing that, it's understanding that,
yeah,
and just continuing to realize who that person is and who they are in your relationship and how you fit in with that.
How I fit in, but you also have to respect how they feel.
Yeah.
I'm the more, James, we like to do things together, but for the most part, he likes to watch the news and the sports. That's what he does. He likes to do his television thing. Mm. When I say, hey, I'm going to go over here and hang out with so-and-so, or hey, I'm going to go to the mall, I'm more of the mover, but I do respect him for being who he is. If he wants to sit and watch television, sports, and
then you
news,
let him do that.
And history, he's a really good history buff. He should have been a history teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I respect that because he's happy doing it. You have to remember to do that too. Whatever your spouse is happy doing, he's not hurting anybody. He's happy. She's happy. You let them do that, and they have to let you do the same. Like, he has never said, "Oh, you can't do this. I don't want you doing that."
Yeah,
I wouldn't go for this. This is not my personality. But he's never done that. But go and do that. Go have a good time.
Yeah.
You have to respect what they want to do too. You have to respect that. So long as they're in that comfort zone and you're in yours, it's good. But you got to come together at times too.
Amen. And don't wing it. That right there is enough right there. I almost got married and figured out that he wasn't telling the truth a lot.
Really?
And, you know, so it's important to really know who you are also and get to know that other person, because to her point, I mean, you've got to be real on all fronts.
Amen. Donna, hey, thanks for the call. And Stacey, where in California at?
You know where Sacramento is, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm right outside of Sacramento, a place called Elk Grove, and it's burning up here, and it's going to be
hot.
Mid to upper 90s for the rest of the week. And I'm dark skinned, so it's really hard for me to take it. I'm soaking that sun in.
Soaking. Well, I love you so much. I'm glad you got a chance to call in and give us some of your wisdom. It means a lot to our listeners and those of us here in Chicago and in Canada, because we're national and international.
And Donna, when I'm out in Sacramento, I'll give you a call, okay?
Thank you much, dear. I appreciate it.
All right.
Look, you guys have a wonderful evening, and thank you for listening.
Oh, thank you so much. Donna, with the knowledge. Natasha, stay on the line. We got to take a quick commercial break, then the news on 720 WGN. WGN, Saadia Davis and John Hansen here, wrapping things up at the last half hour. Can't believe it's gone by fast, Saadia.
Things fly when you're having fun.
They sure do, as that saying goes. Oh, by the way, the alligator, I got a great new picture of it in the lagoon with its snout kind of sticking on up. They haven't caught the thing yet.
And the teeth,
yeah, exactly. In case you're just joining or just catching the news, there's a 4 to 5 foot alligator in the Humboldt Park Lagoon. It does not belong there, and they've kind of staked out the entire evening to try and catch this thing. We'll, of course, keep you posted. David Jennings, who's in for Vic Vaughn, will keep you posted throughout the morning. But we're talking about relationships now, and we've gotten on the topic because, you know, Whoopi Goldberg, who is as strong, independent woman as it gets on The View and in life, been married 3 times, says it's not for her. And so I think it takes a certain amount of self-awareness to say, look, it just isn't for me. I know that's what we're supposed to do, in quotes, but to buck those trends, I think it does take a level of courage, and for her to put words to that in her position where she has a huge audience can be an inspiring thing for a lot of people that maybe feel the same way.
Absolutely, and I think especially because she has such a large following, and of course we all know who she is, and she's been influential and sister act and all of this, so to inspire individuals to find their freedom to just be who they are, it may mean that they don't ever get married, and that's okay. Yeah. I'm glad, Whoopi.
Yeah, amen. 312-981-7200. Join the conversation, whether you're single and will always be, or married, love-struck, whatever the case may be. Let's go to Natasha. Natasha, you're on WGN, married 23 years in September, right?
Yes, 23 years.
And you're another one of the Saudi crew here, right?
I am. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for hanging in there with us.
Hanging in.
Where are you calling from, Natasha, by the way?
I,
I'm calling from Chicago.
Oh, so you're up here late with us here this early morning.
I'm hanging out with you this early morning, yes. I'll pay for it tomorrow, but that's
yeah.
Okay.
We all will. Hey, so 23 years, I mean, obviously every relationship has its ups, have its downs. How do you steady the course?
Absolutely. Well, you know what? There's been some great commentary, and one of, I think, the big keys is that marriage takes investment. You have to pour into it. It's not, there is no cruise control for marriage. And I think that, you know, in this culture, especially today, people have this idea, this illusion that it's going to be sunshine and lollipops all the time. And as soon as it's not, they're ready to split. But it doesn't work like that. So, you know, whether you have an agreement, commitment, covenant, whatever you call it, when you go into it, you're going into it to be in this relationship and union, and you got to work at it, you know? Some, it's not always 50-50. Sometimes it's 60-40. Sometimes it may feel like 80-20. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, that's just part of what comes with the territory. But anything worth having is worth working at and putting effort into. So I think that's really important.
Mm, well said.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of 80-20, wake up your husband. Tell him what he says.
Yeah, I was like, we want a man on the call. What are these guys doing? We want to hear their perspective.
It might be 90-10 if you wake him up in the middle of the night. I don't know.
It may well just be. Yeah. You know, and being friends is important, too. That's crucial. That makes a big difference. You know, we met as kids, and we like to say that we grew up together. But, you know, it's very easy to grow apart. So, once again, you know, being friends makes a difference, and having things. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing everything together. You know, you're each your own individual person. And it's two people figuring out how to be as one, which is why you guys were just talking about Whoopi. And I think it's great when you can be aware that something is not for you, because it takes a certain amount of selflessness to, yeah, you know, it's not always about you. Sometimes
right.
It is about putting that other person before what it is that you want, and not necessarily in a negative way.
Right.
But yeah, so that is something that definitely has an impact on people being able to grow together and change together in a positive way.
Yeah.
Well, especially someone like Whoopi with a strong career that, you know, she's got to be as busy as can be, that a career is almost that is a partner in a way, too.
Well, and the other thing is within the article, she definitely talked about that accountability of, or the person that has an expectation of knowing where you are and where you're going to be and how are you going to get there, and not really wanting to have that accountability to someone. And I know that is something, right? When you have somebody else that you have to sort of, we never want to feel like we're reporting to someone, mm-hmm, but I kind of got that feeling from the article that she just wanted to have a certain amount of freedom. And, you know, I think it's great when two people can find that balance.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm still looking for it.
Yeah. But I think that you have the right mindset that you're looking for it, but you're not forcing yourself to find it. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where you're actively, I imagine, you're out there. You'll find someone that when it comes along, right?
I'm dating.
Yeah.
You know, but what's funny is most people think when they see my life, and as you said, John, I do a lot, they just sometimes don't know where they fit. And
right.
The reality is that I know how to slow it down and make space.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one trusting that is in fact the case.
Right. Hey, Natasha, I was going to ask, we've been talking about, you know, I think I said earlier with Donna that people change, and I think that's a really easy thing that we just throw out there. I guess it's like people grow. Like, it's not that they, I think that our morals are strong, and we usually steady the course. The compass is pointing north for us, and we try and stay that way. But, you know, we grow as people. Is it hard sometimes when you notice a change or a difference, or maybe, you know, they're not the exact same person you married 23 years ago, but neither are you, and it takes that little self-awareness to recognize that it's a two-way street there.
Absolutely, and that's the key. There may not be the same, but neither are you. And you would hope that they're not in some ways, right? Because that's what we want to do. We want to grow as we go through life, and we have new experiences and are exposed to different things. That's important. But the key is that you can find a way to still work together. And even if you start to have differences, you have to communicate. And that's where the communication becomes important. And I would urge anybody, and don't be hesitant to seek qualified professional help when you get into a role bump. I mean, we don't have all the answers. You're not expected to know it all. You know, it's a process. And it makes sense that if you find that you get to a point where maybe you're not seeing eye to eye, sometimes it's very helpful to have a different voice or another perspective, because we can only see through our own perspective. I mean, we can try to be in somebody else's shoes, right? But if you've never really experienced it,
you can't experience it or really fully know what it feels like. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's helpful to have a third objective person who can come in and help kind of bridge that gap. So maybe when you do have differences, you can kind of see eye to eye and work through it. So
awesome.
Absolutely, growth is important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to say, Natasha, I want to hang out with your friends here. I want to open up a couple bottles of wine. We all sit around. We all could share some stories.
Yes.
You've got a fun group of friends.
Musicians come in and sing live
Grammy
tracks.
Grammy winners come on in. Poets coming in. Natasha rocking in. We're going to wake up her husband. We're going to bring him on in. I don't know what we got to do to coax him out of bed, but we'll do it. Anyways, Natasha, thanks for calling in here and get some sleep, all right?
Thanks,
all right,
Natasha.
You guys, have fun. Take
23
care.
Tell
years. William I said hello.
Yeah. Wake him up right now. You tell him that. Hey, we had a text, by the way, from someone saying, going on 11 years of marriage, 10 out of the 11 years, I worked the second shift.
Okay.
And I think that's why we lasted this long. Sometimes a little forced space isn't the worst thing in the world. 312-981-7200, hanging out, talking about some relationships, what works, what doesn't work, and your personal experiences along the way. Saudia Davis and John Hansen here until 1 o'clock, and that's when Nick DiCilio will take over. Greg's going to hang on the line. We're going to get him after this quick commercial break. Then we'll get Greg and more on 720 WGN. Yes, 720 WGN. Sorry, you just have like a cast of characters that you are just dragooning to join them in the radio. But they're
That's
all adding
right.
cool stuff to the conversation.
Hey, we got
to
bring people in from the West Coast, East Coast. What's going on, Greg? Are you joining us?
Yeah, we got Greg on WGN. Greg, how you doing this morning?
I'm fabulous. Thanks for asking. Thanks for letting me join the party. Although I'm late to the stream of conversation, but I'm willing to jump in any way that seems fit.
We need a guy's perspective. Yeah, we need a guy's perspective, so Saudia, tee it up for him.
So basically, look, you know, Whoopi Goldberg, there's an article where she reveals that, you know, after three marriages, she's realized it's not for her. And that's okay. Some people want to get married. Some people don't. Some people get married and find out after a divorce they may never want to marry again. Some people have wonderful relationships and don't feel the necessity to be married.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about what is your truth and what works for you.
Oh, what is my truth?
A loaded question.
Or,
no, yeah,
it doesn't
exactly.
have to be yours exactly, but just kind of like we're in a different time now.
Yeah, I know. We are in a different time. I don't know that we are all bound to a strong set of rules and societal norms, if you will, that if you have a family or if you have a significant other, I don't know that the pressure is there to have to tie the knot in the same way, right? But I can tell you when you're saying that some people would vow never to marry again, I don't think that I would fall into that bag, but I would say after a failed marriage, I know what I want in a relationship, and I think those learnings are more important. And so I don't know if I can encapsulate this in the
right.
Oh yeah.
Swoop. Well, so Greg, you were previously married. You're saying?
Yes, I was married for right up to the 7-year itch. It started scratching. It was like poison oak scratching.
Rough and vicious. There you go. But I imagine you learned a lot from there. So do you enter, if you have been back out in the dating world, do you enter with more trepidation, or is it just more, is it trepidation like worry, or is it confidence knowing what you want now more so than worrying that that partner is not going to match with what you want?
I think after the marriage, I did have trepidation in knowing what I trepidation knowing that, you know, will I ever get what I want?
Oh,
right.
Okay.
So, but I think that's the trepidation. But I am in a happy, long relationship now with a beautiful little daughter in my relationship, and I think I had an opportunity to walk away from that opportunity,
mm-hmm.
and I probably would have been valid just because of the you know what I felt were my perspective on the pains that I had in my relationship and where I failed and where my spouse failed, and I could easily just stayed away from that.
Mm-hmm.
But I got lucky, so
So are
you? I'm in a happy place.
How long have you guys been together now?
We're looking at 7 years.
Okay.
No poison oak.
No. So I got to ask, Greg. I mean, you were married before, and you know you've now been with someone for 7 years. That's great. And I'm only asking this just because, again, this is what we were talking about with Whoopi, that mm-hmm. society says, oh, man, at some point, you got to tie that out. Have you guys had that conversation? Is that somewhere you want to go, or is it somewhere that you guys have consciously made this decision that you're not going to go to that step yet or if ever?
You know what? We had the conversations early in our relationship, and we both, at one point, you know, all both said, hey, marriage is not the first priority, but I would say probably both open to making that an official thing, but it's not a hard line rule. It's not a hard line. There's no deadlines.
Yeah.
It is, but I don't think we didn't start our relationship with that expectation. And I think it helped a lot. It took a lot of pressure off for both of us.
We just decided
we want to find someone we love to be around and want to be generally just really good to each other.
Amen.
Yeah, that's
and respect great. One another.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you just answered the question I was going to ask you. I mean, that's when you take the pressure off,
mm-hmm.
you know, how does that really impact the dynamic of the relationship? Because the reality is it's about the relationship.
Yes.
And I think people put too much on, as I said before, what they believe marriage to be, mm-hmm. not even knowing it's just a relationship.
Greg, how early did you have that conversation?
Oh, it was within the first 6 months.
Okay.
Within the first 6 months.
Because you never know when to jump in with that. Now, if you've known that person and maybe they know a little bit of your past, it's a different situation. But yeah, that's pretty good to have that conversation and come to that realization together. And that, man, taking that pressure off is something that I know a lot of couples talk about because mm-hmm. there's always that clock. Not always, but that clock is there. And for some people, it's a year and I better start seeing that ring. Some people it's three and somewhere in between, but it's wonderful that at least you had that going in and you knew that we were at least at the same place. Now that might change as you get going in the relationship more, but at least you're starting at the same spot.
Right, exactly. I think the other part of this whole relationship business where people, well, I don't know, where I may have gotten in trouble for sure is that, you know, I had an uncommunicated expectation that she never got around in my ex world. It was an expectation that I never told her, and she had some of me from me, and we both thought we knew those two expectations, and we just constantly failed each other.
Greg, you're bringing it full circle.
I mean, you really full circle moment, Greg, because we were just saying how in our previous callers, the consistent theme for the successful marriages was that you cannot expect to know the other person's thoughts. You must communicate them out loud, and you can't expect them to know your thoughts. And you just basically stated that's where it falls apart.
Because we just all bring different baggage. We all bring different pasts with our parents, our siblings, their relationships to the table. And then we all kind of have this set of mores and taboos that we have in our mind. And we just kind of assume the other person shares the similar things, but they don't. The reality is you actually have to lay it all out. And Greg, I'm glad that you called on in. And if anything else, those first relationships, those first marriages, for some people, I know divorce is hard and splitting up is difficult, but if both people can kind of then go in a different direction, find love in whatever way that takes, or not in the future, then amen to that. Hey, Greg, thanks for the phone call. Any other relationship advice? You're spitting knowledge here, Greg.
I spit knowledge with no microphone.
Don't fake the funk, G-Reed. Don't fake the funk.
I think that's the thing. It just boils down to every major battle and every war ever fought and ever started all is due to a breakdown in communication at some point.
Yeah.
So how do we love? That's what we. Yes.
All right, Greg.
Sending the love.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. All right.
Thanks,
guys.
Thanks, Greg.
Take care. Now, you got some great friends. They are knowledgeable people. It's almost like you timed out that segment so the first caller would match the last one. But your friends are knowledgeable. I mean, you have such a wide range of friends, it seems like, of different ages, different backgrounds. And I bet you draw on their experiences to help you guide on yours, right?
I mean, sure. I mean, Greg is a best friend of over, oh my God, close to 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen these two relationships, and it's really wonderful to hear and see manifest love in mm-hmm. your friends' relationships.
By the way, we had a text from the 773, and boy, this is a hard one. Jealousy. Throw that word out the window, and you'll have a good marriage.
There it is.
And jealousy takes on different forms, obviously. Right. There's people that deserve to be, you know, you're jealous of that person because they're acting a fool, and they're trying to get you to feel jealous, and that's a hateful sort of feeling. But the little things, whether it's jealousy, even if it's not even of another man or another woman or their friend, but jealousy of their friendships, their work, their whatever it might be, if you can lose a little bit of that and give an inch on that, it's going to help you go a long way, I imagine.
It's toxic. It's like a cancer. Yeah. What I will say, and what I do know for sure, is that adoration, it's important to me. Mm-hmm. And I think when you can find that in that partner that you adore and share that, that's love, but it's on another level.
It's great stuff. We're gonna take one last commercial break, then wrap things up here on 720 WGN. That'll just about do it for us. Nick DiGilio coming up at the top of the hour at 1 o'clock after the news. Tom Hush, the producer. David Jennings is in the newsroom, and he'll be joining their conversations as well. I love listening to Nick DiGilio. I'm not just trying to make his ears burn here, but I listen to Nick every morning on my way to the jam. So I'm going to be going to bed in about 10 minutes as soon as I get home, and then I'll be up for the last hour of Nick's show ahead of the jam weekday morning, 6 to 8 on the U, where you can catch me. In studio or out and about. I kind of switch it on up. All right, Sonia, what do you got going on that you want to plug for us out here? Give a good shout out.
You know, first of all, I've got to thank the WGN radio team. You know, John, this has been an incredible experience. And Ashley, like I said, has made me feel at home. So thanks, everybody. But listen, I just want to, if you guys want to keep up with me, I've got a project through my film company called Redwood Cove Films. It's a project called 88 that I'm just hustling for. I mean, could you imagine a black presidential candidate running for office, and for some reason, the super PAC that's taking in his money, the money keeps coming in increments of 888,000, 88,000. And somebody's like, what is this? They track it back to the Third Reich. Could it be that a white supremacist group is backing this black president for U.S. Ooh. Presidency. So, listen, we need $1 million before
before we get to see this.
You know, I'm working on so that we can. It's actually, we're going to close the round end of July, but we'd like to go into production and get it made and cut before the 2020 primaries.
Oh, wow.
It's an exciting film. We've got Kathy Bates that's on hand, potentially. Sam Jackson is going to be
No.
There's a conflict. He's in Africa doing Spider-Man. Anyways, you can find me on social media at IG is From Fear to Fierce, because I'm kind of shy. And then also, I want to tell you guys, DJ Khaled, another one. He just opened a restaurant on the west side of Chicago called Lickings.
Oh, yeah. You were showing me the video of it. Cool place.
Yeah. So it's like literally around the corner from the theater that we just finished renovating called the Caroline Center for the Arts. And you can look me up under Smarty Pants, Our Leaders, to find out more about the Caroline Center for the Arts. So like I told you, John, I do a lot because I love people and I love telling great stories. I just create spaces for artists to play on film, theater, and now on the radio.
Look at that. It was really great to get to know you, Saudi. I look forward to doing it again, okay?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. Speaking of stories, Chicago Stories, told 24/7 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It's 1 o'clock. Here's David Jennings.